couple of people asked me if I was going to be nervous this morning. I said, nah, I can handle it. I was so nervous I swallowed my gum. If I start blowing bubbles, it's my gum.
No problem.
I'd like to thank everyone again. I know this is getting old, but I'd like to thank everyone again for your hospitality, for the good meals that you've prepared for us, for your love, that just come up and say, hey, we missed you. We're glad you're here. And I'm glad I'm here too. A couple of months ago, we started getting letters from people that I don't think they meant it as discouragement, but they said, we heard that you're not coming up for the conference. Who's been telling that? I'm ready to go to the conference. And I don't know. I think sometimes we have this impression that missionaries are these superhuman people, that they never get discouraged, they never get down, they never miss home, they never miss mom and dad back home. But you know, we're just plain old human people that miss mom and dad at home. We miss the people here. We miss the things here. And we all have our ideas about missionaries, whether they're good ideas or whether they're bad missionaries. Now, I've known some missionaries that just go around begging for money, and that's their business, and I've known good missionaries. But 5 years ago, the Lord saw fit to call Brent not to go to the mission field. And 6 years ago, I would have said, no, we'll never go. And I remember on the way back from Michigan, Susan Jackson asked me, she said, Janice, do you think you and Brent will ever go to the mission field? I said, free canned house food. No, I don't think we'll go. And as soon as we drove up into our driveway, Brent says, I got some news to tell you. And I thought, what's going on? And he says, I think we're going to Mexico. I thought, well, Lord, that's just me eating my words again, but I'm glad I'm ready to go. And I've known a few missionaries in my life. I knew the ones that had come out of here. I knew others that we support that I always looked up to them. I thought, yeah, I'd like to be that missionary. I'd like to be able to leave everything and go to be able to tell someone else. And read about people that gave their lives to go to tell someone else. And I just always had missionaries up here on a high plane. I always thought they were good. So when the Lord called us, I decided that I wanted to be a good missionary. You know, I wanted to be a winner. I didn't want to go down and come back a year's time defeated or broken, or I wanted to be the best. And a lot of times when Christians have that attitude about being the best, they are looked down upon because, oh, that's your pride. You think you're Holy Joe now. You're perfect. And no, are you a wife? Don't you want to be the best wife you can be? Are you a mother? Don't you want to be the best mother you can be? Are you a bookkeeper? Don't you want to be the best bookkeeper?
Amen.
Are you a singer? Don't you want to be the best singer? Why is it wrong whenever a Christian or a person that wants to see God, why is it wrong when they want to be the best?
Amen.
And I wanted to be the best, not to say that, oh, I'm so great. I wanted to be the best so the Lord's name wouldn't be brought down.
Amen.
And I think whenever we do anything but our best as a Christian, as a Sunday school teacher, as a missionary, we do anything less, I think the Lord's name can be hurt,
right,
and his purpose can be discouraged. So anyway, I wanted to be a good. Sometimes we just have these attitudes, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's tradition. I don't know if it's just the way we've been brought up. But everybody has their idea of missionaries. Well, I'd like to read something that we received about 4 months ago. I guess it was from a fellow missionary, and I don't know if she got it from somebody else or if she wrote it or what, but it really touched my heart because when I left, it was easy to go, but yet it was hard because I was leaving people I loved. I was leaving family that had just come back, and it was hard. And I went, whenever you strive to be the best or to do the best, sometimes you can get your view off the right things and onto the wrong things. And let me read a verse first before I do this other. I'm getting my gums coming up. And Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. I use this verse a lot to the ladies that I deal with in Mexico, to the different ones that we deal with. And Matthew 10:37. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Amen. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And in my struggle or my zeal to be the best, missionary, I got this attitude, well, Lord, that's right. Your word says if I love my mother or my family or my friends or my church here more than you, I'm not worthy of you. And I took that as if you love them, you're not worthy of me. And my attitude got to where, well, if I come back from Mexico thinking that, making everybody think that I'm having such a great time or that it's, you know, just the best thing, they're going to feel like, I think I'm getting this backwards. They're going to feel like that I don't miss them. Or I did get that backwards. If I came back to Mexico sharing with them the problems that we have or the struggles that we have or just the everyday life, that I'm really discouraged with Mexico, that I don't like it, that I hate being there. And I tended to make Mexico to be something bigger and greater, the missionary life, something bigger and greater than it really has been. Because I wanted my family, I wanted my friends to think, well, Janice is making it. She has no problem. And I think it hurt more than it helped when, and all through this meeting, it's been talked about being real, being just what you are.
Amen.
And I think I've been guilty of trying to be somebody that I'm really not. I have my problems. Mexico isn't all just hunky-dory, and I just love the Mexicans to pieces. But the reason I'm there is because I love the work.
Amen.
I don't love the people. There's some food that I don't like. There's some, just a lot of things. Sometimes I don't even like the people I work with. But I love the work. I love being able to tell somebody, listen, God saved me. He can save you. He changed my life. He can change your life.
That's right.
I just kind of blew that verse out of proportion because it says more than me. And as much as I love my family, as much as I love my friends, the Lord's still got to come first. Lula, I know a lot of y'all have heard me talk about her and ask for prayer for her. She's had a real hard time putting her family aside. And I've gone over this verse with her and over and over, and she finally came to the point where, yeah, I've got to serve the Lord. I've got to put him first. And I told her, you got to do that whether your husband's Christian or not.
Right.
Me with a saved husband, with a husband that loves the Lord, that preaches his word, the Lord's still got to come first in my life, and Brent has to come second. Well, anyway, let me read you these things that this missionary friend of ours, and it is also up on the board. I got it off the board this morning because I forgot my paper at home. And it says, what is a missionary? A missionary is a person that bleeds when he's cut. We're not superhuman. We're not some little perfect things running around that we don't feel. Missionary is a person that laughs at a joke. You know, we're not above the jokes, the things. We like to have a good time. Missionary's person likes to get chocolate. Nothing tastes better than that chocolate ice cream I got when I got home. Missionary's a person that gets sick. We get sick. We got our problems. As soon as we got up here, Leslie got sick. Missionary's person that worries about the kids. Last year I came home, I was worried about my kids because we had some threats against them. I was really worried about my kids. And I know y'all up here, you worry about your kids. You worry about when they go to school. You worry about when they come home. Well, we worry about our kids too. We get sick occasionally. Even the missionaries, they get sick. Their kids get sick, but we get sick too. We get behind. There's lots of things that I wrote my mom. I said, man, I haven't washed my clothes in 2 weeks. If the rain doesn't stop, I'm going to have to bring all my dirty clothes up to wash at your house. But we get behind. Then we get caught up slowly but surely. And he cries when a neighbor dies. You know, it's sometimes we don't have the compassion that we ought to have for our neighbors. That when it's my mother-in-law that's dying, I have compassion. But we need to have compassion for our neighbors too. And we do cry for our neighbors. We do feel with them. We become impatient when progress is slow. I know a while back when we had a group of people and they seemed to scatter away, we got real impatient. Why, Lord? You know, we're doing the best we can, but why? When we get impatient, we read a book just for fun. We kid Susan because she has her group of books that she reads. And sometimes we just read a book for fun, not because we have to. And it's not always just the Bible. We read other things just to get our minds off sometimes of the problems we have. And isn't very saintly most of the time. That was my biggest letdown when I went to the mission field, because I thought all these people I knew, they were just up here on this high level, and I realized, hey, I'm not up there. What's the matter? Am I doing something wrong? No, we're not. We're not very saintly. Most of the time, we're not. We're just get up, get the kids off to school, get Brent off to school, get my house cleaned up, just the name, normal old things that y'all do here. We're just not very saintly most of the time, and we're just human. And that's why we depend on y'all's prayers. That's why we need to come up here to these conferences. We need to come up to be with the brethren, to get some of your blessings. Because sometimes it gets discouraging down there. And so anyway, that's what missionaries really are. We're just human. We're just like you are. We're nothing special. And a lot of people, it really bothers me when they say, well, what do y'all do? What do you do? And we say, well, we're missionaries in Mexico. And they say, oh, you poor thing. How can you stand it? It's so dirty. It stinks. The people are so lazy. How can you do it? What about your kids? What's their education going to be like? What are you putting them through? You poor things. And don't feel sorry for me. Just don't feel sorry for me, because I wouldn't rather be in any other place. I'm able to change people's lives for eternity. And my kids, they might not have all the things that your kids have up here. They might not know the latest songs or the latest fashions. They might not get to go to the malls every day. But my kids are learning something that y'all might be missing out on, that your children might be missing out on. So don't feel sorry for me, because I don't feel sorry for myself. I count it a pleasure and a joy. And where did the verse go to? First Thessalonians. Yeah, there it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 19 and 20, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, how do you say that? Thessalonians. And he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our joy, our glory, and our joy. There's a song that we sang, I think it's number 65, Little is Much When God Is In It. We might not ever be the most popular missionaries in Mexico. Nobody will probably ever hear of us, but little is much when God is in it. And we don't go down there trying to lift ourselves up or do some extraordinary work. We're just going down there to present the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for our lives and share him with what he can do in their lives. And so the Lord in his mercy and his goodness has let us be a part of people's lives, being changed for eternity. And there's a couple of ladies and that I've been able to lead to the Lord personally. And I just, they think, well, you poor thing, you have to be down there and away from your family. No, they're my joy and they're my glory. And they're going to be with us in eternity. And, we might have our families here for 60, 70 years on this earth, 80 years. But the people that we win for the Lord, we're going to have them for all eternity.
Amen.
There's not going to be one that has gotten saved that we're not going to be able to go up and say, hey, remember when? And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to serve him. And I was just thinking, like Brent said, I think in one of his meetings or one of his sermons before, he's a debtor. He's a debtor to Gwen Higgins. And we all are a debtor to the person that led us to the Lord, or that told us about the Lord. And I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to my brother and sister-in-law. They love me. My other brothers and family did too. I'm not trying to say that. But they gave me something. They sacrificed themselves to tell me how I could be saved, that I needed to be saved. And so for that, I am a debtor to them. And I never forget that. I just keep thinking, yeah, if it wasn't for them, I'd have no hope. And a lot of times we think, well, I don't feel like telling anybody. I don't want to read the Word, because if I read the Bible, if I read God's Word, he's going to show me something that I really don't want to do. And you out there that are saved, that do know the Lord, that do know that when you die, you're going to heaven, not because you're any good, but because God paid for your hell, and he died for your place. You that have that security, you that have that, what if the person that told you that you needed to be saved, that you needed to repent of your sins and to call upon God. What if that person didn't feel like it?
Yeah.
Where would you be? Where would you be if the person that gave you God's gift, where would you be if they didn't feel like it, or if they didn't want to, or if they were having a bad day? Where would you be? You'd be lost in your sins. You would not have the love of God in your heart. And that's something that really gets me when I get down and I don't feel like it and have my little pity party that why am I here? And my sister that I haven't seen in 30 years comes back and everybody's visiting. You know, I think, why am I here? And I think, I know why I'm here. Because there's somebody's mother or brother or sister or friend that doesn't know what I know. And that it's kind of like a little push that I need in the morning to remember. What if my brother and sister-in-law didn't feel like it? And I think, Janice, come on. You gotta feel like it whether you feel like it or not.
Amen.
And just keep on going. And I think of a verse in John that no greater love, how's it go? John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't have a friend like that would give their life up for me. But we all have a friend, and Jesus is that friend. He gave his life that we might have life. And I remember one time, my very best friend in high school, her little baby was dying of spinal meningitis. And I had just gotten pregnant at that time with, I think it was Jason. And her little boy, I had kept when he was a baby. And I loved that little boy like he was my own, because he was my best friend's little boy. And I remember praying, Lord, if you could save this little boy, if you could spare her the agony of losing her son, take this baby that I don't even know. And I, at the time, I thought, that's something that I'm really giving. And I mean it. I wasn't trying to do it just so I could say that I was something. I really meant it. But I see this. I didn't give my life. I didn't say, Lord, take my life and spare that one. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, laid down his life. He laid it down. Nobody killed him. He laid his life down freely for us.
Amen.
And he laid his life freely down for the ones in Aguas Calientes. He laid his life down for the ones in Germany. He laid his life down for the ones in Korea and all over the world. He laid his life down for everyone. And me, having received that and having been saved, been forgiven of my sins, I'm not any good. I'm not perfect. And you that know me know that. Dennis wrote us a letter, and he says, when I got saved and I started going to that church, I thought missionaries, I thought they were just superhuman. I thought they could do no wrong. I thought they read their Bible from cover to cover. And he says, then when I met you, I just found out what happened. I thought, oh, no. It's really, Dennis, you know how to really encourage a person, but I know what you meant. And we are. And that's just something that I think it was Joey that brought it up. You know, just be real. Just be yourself. And you have a family here that say you can't go to the mission. Say you can't go anywhere. And you say, well, you know, God hadn't called me to go. Well, has he called you to stay here? You know, you've got a family here. Work with them. Talk
Amen.
With them. Love them.
Amen.
And then what God has shown you or will allow you to do, you do. And you do it for his glory. And you do it with the right attitude. I know that's my problem, my attitude problem. But do it anyway, whether you feel like it or not, because there's somebody's brother out there that you can save. And what if it was your brother that somebody didn't tell? And I'm going to close with this one verse because it's really the second part of number two of the song number two that we sang this morning. It says, Today some heathen mother dear is turning from a sacred stream to which she threw her precious child, an offering to please her God. Oh, you who know the one true God, what offering did you bring today? You claim that you have the peace of God, yet care not that they must seek in vain. You know, if you've got the truth and you're not telling somebody, one day those people are going to wind up in hell because you didn't say what you could have said. You didn't say what you knew you should have said. And I just exhort y'all to think about it. If the person that led you to the Lord didn't feel like it, you wouldn't have what you have today. And there's people out there that don't have what you have. And you are the only ones that can touch them.
Amen.
You're the only one that can reach them. So I just encourage y'all to reach those that you can reach.
Amen.